Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have noticed I haven't been here very much this summer. Thank you to the congregation for the opportunities I've had to go on not one but two mission trips with this congregation. First to Bomolongombe, Tanzania, to our partner congregation, and more recently spending 10 days in New York City with our middle school and high school youth and our youth director, Corey. We got back late Monday night, and there were 32 of us total. We partnered with St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Bloomington. And we were at two different churches, Advent Lutheran, which is on Broadway in Manhattan, a very traditional, beautiful church building built of stone and brick and high ceilings and stained glass windows, built in 1900. And that's more of an upper middle class congregation. They have two services in English and one in Spanish as they're reaching out to the Latino community. The other church we were at, and the one we stayed at, was Our Savior Lutheran in Queens. And that was a church built in the 50s. It was a German Lutheran congregation, but now is a congregation of fairly recent immigrants. And the biggest population is from Guyana in South America. There are more Guyanese, in fact, in New York City than in Guyana. They also have people from Jamaica and various African countries. We think there are about four white people in the congregation. That includes the pastor and his wife. So we had two very diverse experiences, and you will get to hear a lot more about our trip on September 1st, when the youth from the mission trip lead our worship service on Labor Day weekend. And it is always a very meaningful experience to have intense time together traveling, getting to know one another, and building relationships with the people that we are working with. One of the things I like best about Vacation Bible School is teaching kids stories and helping them learn these stories and make them their own. So one of my favorite experiences was a couple days into Vacation Bible School. We had a little girl named Evie who was 7. And after we had told the story and done a puppet show of it, she started to tell the story. And so the youth did the puppets and she narrated the story. It was amazing to see how she could tell this story. Today's story of Jonah is that kind of story. In fact, the kids this morning were telling the story before I even got to parts of the story. They know this story. This is our story. And there was one experience that really impacted me on our trip that reminds me of today's story of Jonah being inside that big fish, spending an entire chapter of the Bible inside the fish. That was the afternoon that we went to the 9/11 Museum. Now, the kids in the group mostly know 9/11 as history. It happened 18 years ago, so only the seniors were even born yet, and they were babies at the time. So for them, this was a historical event. And for us as the adult leaders, it was like reliving the day, those experiences of 9/11. When I was in New York City about 10 years ago, they were still debating what to do as a memorial, and there was a great big crater in the ground at Ground Zero with fences around it and some makeshift memorials. So going back this time was very different. There's this beautiful plaza and lots of trees and these large reflecting pools with the names of everyone who died carved in the marble around the reflecting pools. As you go into the museum, it's a fairly small looking building. You come in out of the sunshine and you take escalators down and further down, and it gets darker and very somber. They set this tone as you're entering the museum. And you see several things, like a fire truck that is so badly damaged, it's hard to tell which is the front end and which was the back end. because the fires were so hot that day. And this particular ladder truck, every one of those firefighters who went into the World Trade Center to help save people died that day. And they use voices of people who survived, recordings of their memories and experiences, and they play the voicemail messages left by people calling their loved ones, saying goodbye. People who were on the airplanes, people who were in the towers who didn't make it. Using photography and video and sound recreates that day. One of the youth said, "It feels like it's happening right now." It was a very, very impactful, meaningful time to be there, looking at all of these things, remembering, seeing the images of the aircraft hitting the towers, the fire, the towers falling, the aircraft crashing in Pennsylvania and into the Pentagon. Can you imagine being in the towers, not quite knowing what is going on, but with the power out and trying to make sense out of the world? It reminds me of what Jonah must have felt like inside that great big fish. Is this the end? Can it get any worse than that? We find ourselves at various points of our life in that kind of situation, whether it's being stuck in the cycle of addiction or experiencing depression at its low points, feeling incredibly lonely, even when surrounded by so many people, going through the grieving process, not knowing how you are going to go on without that person, hearing the news over and over of mass shootings, this past week in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, with 31 people killed. How can this violence, this hatred, the way we treat immigrants, and so many other things go on in our world? Sometimes it feels like we have hit bottom. And what are we to do? Notice that in the story, Jonah hasn't even thought of praying until that point. It takes getting to that low point for him to even think about God and asking God for help. And we can relate to that. How many times are things going well and we don't even think to share that with God, to talk to God in prayer, until we're desperate and we need God's help? Fortunately, the good news is that God is there to listen to us. God wants to be in relationship with us all the time. But God waits for us, even when we're ignoring God. God listens. God hears our prayer. And God is present with us in that moment. Now, we might not always get what we're asking for, because that is not the promise God has made to us. But God is present with us in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives. And God was with all those people that day on 9/11 when the terrorist attacks happened. Seeing the things in the museum, you can only look at so much of it, and then it feels like overload and too much. And is there any hope? Well, I found hope in a very unusual place. It was looking at a pair of tennis shoes, red high-top tennis shoes, in fact. They belonged to a man who worked on the 54th floor of one of the towers, and he and his co-workers, with the power out and not really fully knowing what's going on, had moved to the stairs and were making their way down the stairway from the 54th floor all the way down to street level. And he was wearing those shoes. And he made it down the stairs all of those flights of stairs and open the door out into the street, into daylight, just before the building collapsed. And then what was he to do? It was kind of chaotic there, and the trains weren't running, and the buses weren't running, and the streets were filled with emergency vehicles. There was no transportation. So he didn't stop. He kept walking for 5 more miles to where his daughter lived in Manhattan. Those shoes were what he wore on that day when he survived the attacks of 9/11. Life-giving shoes. And another symbol, a beacon of hope, was a very small church across the street from the World Trade Center. After we had all seen the museum, we gathered at this very small, old, gray stone church called St. Paul's Chapel. It was built in 1766. It was where George Washington worshiped. And it's surrounded by a cemetery with gravestones that are so old and weathered, you can barely read anything that is carved on the stones. This very small church stood through that chaos on 9/11 and wasn't damaged by fire or flying debris or anything. It stood there as a beacon of hope. And it was used by many of the emergency responders, especially the firefighters, who, when their boots got way too hot, came to this chapel, took off those boots, and put on other boots so they could go back and continue working to rescue people, not only that day, but in the days and weeks that followed. That chapel is a symbol of how God is with us in the midst of chaos and havoc and despair. God is steadfast and present and wants to be part of our lives. God was there with people on 9/11. God was with us as we recall where we were that day, and God will continue to be with us each and every day of our lives, in the good times and in the really hard times. It reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, that nothing in all of the world, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor anything else, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.